Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Michael Johnson is back in a big way.
I'm one of the best strikers in this division. I'm one of the best strikers in the world.
Michael Johnson.
That is it. Rafael Fiziev finishes Brad Riddell.
Rafael Adamant Fiziev.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt is back. We only missed one episode together because of July 4th. Hope everyone had a great Independence Day. And we have Michael Johnson in the waiting room. We have Rafael Fiziev coming on today to promote Dos Anjos Fiziev on Saturday night. But Matt, I texted with you a little bit. And
yes.
You seemed like you were having a great time.
Oh, I sent you the picture with me with the VR?
Yeah, it's exactly what I would expect you to do.
It's exactly. That's what I call making the most of it. Yeah. I sent Jimmy a picture of me, and I had my leg in a wrap that goes filled with ice. Yeah. And
you were nude. It was so weird.
No, I had my shirt off. I wasn't totally
nude.
You were
naked.
But I was from the top up, the waist up. But, you know, I was having a good time.
Yes.
Jimmy, listen, really quick, before we talk to the great Michael Johnson, either I have been working on my tan, which I have,
yep,
or...
I noticed it.
You are the new member of Twilight, the sequel, or Interview with the Vampire. Are they doing a reboot? What, Jimmy, sunlight.
I know.
Are you afraid of it? And have you seen it lately?
No, Matt, I know what you're saying. I'm looking at it right now, and I don't know. I'm going to change the background for 1 second. I just want to see if this has any...
You're like a grown-up Eddie Munster.
Is it the background or no?
Dude, all I know is... I'm protected. I'm from a choke. But you look like a little vampire. You look like Adam Rambo. Jimmy, you look great.
No, I don't know. You're right, man.
I'm very tan right now. I'm not doing anything. I'm a bum. A fucking bum. I'm sipping espresso and I'm doing exercise in my yard.
Well, then you're doing something.
You're right. I am doing something. But my point is this. You don't look big. You look a little. I don't think you're getting enough sun, though.
No, I don't know why. I'm actually tanner. I don't know why I'm so white. I don't know why.
I got either that or I got a fucking tan.
All right. Let's bring Michael Johnson in.
It has nothing to do with the conversation. Oh, why am I?
No, we'll bring Michael in. I
love you, Jimmy. I feel like I'm shitting on you. I'm not. I love you.
No, I noticed the same thing. As soon as we signed
this new contrast, though, because I
this new backdrop. It makes me look like a vampire. And I saw how dark and healthy your background is. And I think I'm washed out because my black shirt even looks washed out. I don't know why.
Yeah, you had a chance there.
Maybe it's the camera.
You had a chance to actually give me a compliment. You did. You really, not only didn't you, don't put that in your
crap. I'm saying you look good.
You're saying, first of all, you said the background looked good. You got a nice, healthy. I go, oh, he's going to say I've been getting sun. Maybe I've been watching my weight. I'm at like 195 today. It was great. I thought you were going to go that route. But you have a nice, healthy background. Can I get your fucking background right here?
Yeah, hold on. Even with a different camera, I was hoping it was the camera. I'm like, oh, Jimmy, I'll change the camera. Nope, it's me.
What I want you to do right now, fuck the cameras.
It's the light.
Fuck the cameras. Right. I want you right now on air to walk in front of a mirror. It's holy fuck. See, the fucking, I'm sure you'd have a reflection, Jimmy, is what I'm saying. Good to see you, man. Long time no see.
Yeah, man. How you been?
Listen, I'm not going to, I haven't talked to you in a while. I don't want to start off by bitching, but I literally got a knee replacement. Don't look at me like an old man, Michael. I got a knee replacement, Michael. I was walking so fucked up that just last Tuesday in the city, I have a new knee. I'm following in the great footsteps of Michael Bisping. And anyway, that's how I'm doing. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Weight cut's doing good. I'm just out here chilling. Just had a little breakfast with the team. Gonna relax for the rest of the day and get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on. Right before you jumped on, Matt was standing up showing off his abs. So I'm happy you stepped in. He was just reconfirming that he is still in really good shape. How are you feeling mentally? I know I was watching the... the thing that they just released on you on YouTube, I was watching, is it The Untold Story of a Fighter or something it's called?
Yeah, the Mullen Brothers.
Yes. And Mulligan Brothers. And you're feeling more positive now? You said you kind of went into like a rough place at one point.
Yeah, I did. And, I'm still, kind of there because, we all know, one fight, one win is not going to change much. I mean, we still are on the same path, still on the same roadway, and still gotta get out of these places. But as far as like the mental positivity side, that's all we can do is try to stay, positive inside our minds. Because that's one thing that we can't control. I'm just trying to sit back and stay grounded and positive and look at the outlook on things.
Well, against Patrick, you looked so good. You were so fast. Your punches were so accurate. You had to be happy with how good you looked in that last fight. You were coming off a skid, a few fights you had lost, but then to bounce back and look as good as you did, that has to make you feel more confident and ready.
Yeah, that part does. I've done a great thing with my team down here, getting back to Florida, and it was just a time where I really needed to get healthy, get the surgeries out of the way, and get back to being how Michael Johnson really fights, being healthy, being good, being active, and being comfortable in there. That's the thing, seeing everything and enjoying myself. Maybe I needed to have it a risk of it all being taken away so I can appreciate it more and get back to, handling my business.
Well, that's what it is, really. I mean, like Jimmy was just saying, your last fight with Alan Patrick, it wasn't just like, oh man, I squeaked by with a decision. I mean, you had a fucking, it was a beautiful KO. And listen, anytime you win in there, it's sweet. There's not one time where you win, it's like, oh, that didn't feel good. But like you said, you were going to, another loss would have been hard to take. So just to get that monkey off your back, man, that must have been orgasmic, no? Michael, let's relive it. I know we got a fight coming up, but shit, that was fucking awesome. I was jumping up and down. Fuck, Michael.
Yeah, it was good, definitely, orgasmic in that sense. You know what I mean? It was just like a weight off my shoulders, a weight off my chest to really get in there. And, I mean, fuck, the guy from the media told me I haven't won in 4 years or some shit like that, he told me. So I was like, damn. It wasn't that long, but you put it that way, like, yeah, okay, so maybe like 3 years, some crazy shit, some unbelievable shit he told me, but you put it that way, I was like, oh, wow, that's incredible to come in here and get a win. I really needed that for myself, my family, my life, my career, everything, that very well needed.
Well, Michael, did he say that to you before the fight or after?
After.
Oh, okay. I was like, what a dick thing to say before a fight. That's just a shitty move. And when you were going through that, before you were able to kind of, I guess, you right the ship, was there anything happening for you mentally in the cage that was different? Like, were you doubting yourself or were you not doing what you wanted to do? Was there anything mental going on that was it messing with you in the cage?
Yeah. No, not mentally. I think everything for that prior to the cage is more physical. My health-wise, I wasn't able to do certain things that I was thinking about. You know, like my mind wanted to do it, but my body just wasn't reacting the way it needed to. And, you know, that was very important to get fixed and, you know, get back to being as healthy as possible.
How's Henry Hoof? You're working with Henry?
Yeah. Henry's great. He's been on his way now. You know, everything's good, you know, keeping the ship sailing.
Now, it's funny, Michael, because I'm a guy that's been around for a while, so I've seen guys come and go. And, like, to me, I'm an old school guy, so I still look at you like a guy that just broke on the scene. But, you know, I was fighting. It sounds funny. I was fighting at your age. No, but around 35, 36, guys started coming at me like, you know, you're the third oldest on the card and this and that. What do you think about after? And I'm like, holy fuck, how did that happen? I feel like I just got here. But, you know, I know you don't have yourself. I don't think you have yourself as a certain number. Some guys do. But what are you thinking about afterwards? Or are you playing it by fight at a time? And do you have something set up afterwards?
Yeah, I got some things set up. You know, I just started really diving into, you know, real estate and getting things going on that end of the spectrum. But at the end of the day, I'm still a fighter. You know, my body's healthy. I'm riding this till the wheels fall off. You know, and until my body says no, then I'm in here. But I mean, I pretty much started in the UFC. I'm going to finish here. And I'm looking at the next 5 to 10 years, you know, taking full advantage.
And we've talked before, as a lot of fighters fight much longer than maybe years ago. And you have to be encouraged when you see, again, the examples I've used so many times are DC and Glover Teixeira and these guys. It's got to make you feel like, yeah, there's a few years left. Like, I don't have to wrap this up anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of years left. And, you know, like I said, my mentality is good in a spot where I'm focused on being successful in these years, taking full advantage of the fight game, taking full advantage of everything I need to do to last for these years. And like I said, I'm in it to the end.
And by the way, it's called The Last Chance. Anybody who wants to watch this on Michael, The Untold Story, it's really good. And it's very informative. It's like 15, 16 minutes. So it's not like you're committing 2 hours to watch. I like when things, I guess maybe our attention spans have gotten so much shorter as we've gotten more technologically. But anything that's 20 minutes or under is perfect for me.
It's yours? What is it again? Tell me about it really quick.
No, it's so the Mulligan brothers, you know, they're huge on YouTube with a lot of inspirational, motivational sports and everything over from the UK. And, you know, they reached out to me prior to the fight. And, you know, they were down in Miami and we filmed a full episode and a skit. And, you know, they called it The Last Chance. And, you know, I just talked about, you know, coming out of this, you know, dark hole I was in, you know, these last four fights, losing them in a row and being in a bad place. You know, and they talk about me coming out of that and me looking at this like a great comeback story history.
Yes, that got me motivated.
Now, yeah, Michael, when you were in that place, what did people do that they meant to be helpful that wasn't helpful? Because I think a lot of times when someone's going through something, we want to help them out, but we don't know exactly what is the right thing and what's the wrong thing. What are things that people would do that meant well that just didn't help you at all?
I mean, nothing. You know, I mean, it kind of feels like everyone, you know, like disappeared, kind of back turned on you, you know, and you're just like left and stuck with like, what the hell am I going to do here? You know, I'm trying to figure out ways to get to the next day almost. But, you know, luckily for me, I had, you know, a great team and great support. I could always come to the gym and, you know, feel that love and that support and guys pushing me to get better and get out of this hole. So that was definitely the help I needed from those guys.
Okay, so you feel like people who you thought might be there for you kind of turned away or just went on and did other things?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Matt, you probably know this as well as any of us. You know, when you're good in a good place, everybody wants to be your friend. You know what I mean? And,
shit.
You fall off a little bit and all the people that weren't meant to be there fall off. And, you know, like I said, it was almost a blessing in disguise that happened. Because now I'm no baggage, clear-headed. And I can move around a lot easier without a bunch of people hanging on me.
And also, like the cage, you can't disguise the truth. Like, you know, people come back around. You're only as good as your last fight. That means you're fucking awesome, Michael Johnson, because that last fight was awesome. So all of a sudden, these people that weren't as real the last how many fights, all of a sudden they start coming back. Hey, man, I knew you had it in you. Did you really, motherfucker? Did you?
Yeah.
You just waited for now. You did that to motivate me by just not calling me, you cocksucker. I'm with you, Michael. I get it, dude. I get it. That's motivating in itself.
Exactly. It is. It's motivating to get back on my shit, get back on that path. And the hell with these people. Dismiss them all. You know, like, I got my core people around me. And, you know, that's all I need. You know, guys that I knew would never turn their back on me. You know, and they stuck through the four fights losing. And they were there every time. They're going with me. And, just being as positive as I am. And we'll be out of this hole sooner or later and back to the top. And I have no problem being up there with a few people at all.
And I'm sure you're expecting a stand-up fight with Malarkey. You know, he you know?
Nah, this dude ain't trying to stand up with me. I've expected him to, I'm expecting him to come in, throw some strikes, and try to jump into my legs and make it a grimy, gritty fight. You know, try to hold me against the cage. If he's wanting a stand-up fight, by all means, let's do it. You know, that's where I shine.
I'm not being an immature asshole, but what does malarkey mean? Isn't it? Because when people say you're full of malarkey, I'm not attacking the guy's name.
It's a nice way of saying bullshit.
But the guy's last name is bullshit. Like, this guy is, listen, Michael, you better be, this guy's got to be tough. This guy's probably been fucked with his whole life. I don't even know what malarkey means, but I know if somebody goes, hey, yo, Matt, you're full of malarkey. I go, oh, yeah. Are we crossing swords? I know they're starting some it's not a compliment. You know what I mean?
It's a bunch of malarkey bullshit. Yeah, it is. He's definitely tough. You know, he's had to put up with that last thing his whole life. So for sure, he's just right? Some shit.
I think that was actually Biden's campaign slogan. He had like on the side of his bus or something, like no malarkey. It's an old man's way of saying it though. Like nobody under 60 says malarkey ever.
Well, yeah. I don't know, man. It's not a good thing, but hey,
yeah,
that's motivating too. I don't know. Listen, all I know is I'm happy to see the Michael fight again this weekend. I'm fucking excited.
Yeah. And you wanted to fight Cowboy too. And he had the Joe Lazone fight that didn't work out. And then he finally fought, Jim Miller. What did you think of his retirement, and were you disappointed at all?
I don't like to really see people retire after losses. So, that was a little bit of a disappointing thing, but, disappointed as in to like not get the fight. Like, no, not by all means. I'm happy for Cowboy, man. He retired. He's going to live his life now and, go on to greater things. And, I'm excited for what he's given the sport. You know, I just been training with Cowboy myself, and that was a fight where I knew it would have been a great one for the fans, a great one for both of us, and it's just one that we've been around for so long and we never fought. So, you know, that was a guy that I wanted to fight, and might happen on a movie screen or somewhere later, but, you know, not knock the guy.
When he was talking to Joe, too, after that fight, he said, I don't love it anymore. He was saying, I don't love it anymore. Do you have those... I always wondered, like you said, if a guy steps down after a loss right away, is that something that will pass in a few days that I don't love it anymore? Or is it something like win, lose, or draw that was going to happen? Like, have you had that feeling in a cage where you wanted to say, look, I don't love this anymore. I want to walk away, but you just didn't?
Yeah. It's been kind of close, you know, because like I said, I've been in the UFC for 12, going on 13 years, like for 15. So a lot of it can't get too much when it becomes too much, but it's literally, an instant change. Like, do I really love this anymore? And then that other side of me clicks back. It's like, hey, yeah, like, this is the life we chose. Like, of course we love this. Of course we're going to continue to do this and fight. So the training might get to you. The weight cut might get to you. But when you're in that cage, you know, you remember why you love the sport.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
I should have started with this question. But you posted something on your Twitter. A few months back, which superhero is more likely to steal your girl, Batman or Superman? And Batman won. Now, where did that come from, Michael Johnson? As a comic book guy, I want to know about that.
Yeah, comic book. It was just something to get, you know, the fans, you know, riled up and get some content and, you know, some discussions going on. My Twitter kind of boosted up. So good one, right? Who do you think won?
I think Batman won, right?
Batman won. They like the dark and brooding type guy, you know?
And he's a billionaire. That doesn't hurt. The fact that Bruce Wayne's a billionaire. But then again, Superman doesn't need money because he could just, you know, he flies. Well, I think women would take flight over anything.
Yeah, but he'll shatter a pelvis. That's no good.
That's a great point.
And he has a weakness.
He has a weakness?
I mean, the women could be his kryptonite.
That's true. That's true. But he needs Wonder Woman. That's the only, you know, vagina that could really take it. I think.
Quicker to take the
throw in third. Yeah, a fucking Amazon. All right, listen. We're looking.
Well, Michael, yes, the opening fight of the main card on Saturday night, Dos Anjos and Fiziev against Jamie Malarkey. And I'm glad you're back on the win side. And good luck on Saturday, man. We just we hope you stick around for a long time. It's always a good fight when you're in a fight.
Thank you, guys. And I'm going to be here until we get back up to the top and close out that one.
Everybody loves a comeback story, bro. It's the best fucking story ever. You're living it. You're fucking living it, Michael Johnson. Best of luck, bro. Best of luck.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, you want to see my knee?
Yes. Da, 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 da. Wow.
Oh, hello.
Wow, they really went in there.
Hello, how you doing? There you get a little smiley face the doctor put on me. Oh, he's silly.
He's silly.
Oh, look at my foot.
How does it feel? Like, do you feel it right now? Is it numb or is it really in pain?
I mean, you know what I've been feeling lately, to be honest with you? And I think I've been handling like a champ. You know, I'm not bitching or nothing. And people are like, oh, yeah. Now listen, and I'm not out of the woods yet. It's only been a week ago. I still got to, I do PT the following a week from yesterday. Next Tuesday, I start my PT, but outside PT. I've been doing shit out around the house and what they've been telling me. They're impressed with my flexibility and everything. So, you know, people are like, oh, you get this done. You should do them both because I heard it's so bad. You're not going to want to do another one. And dude, fucking relax. It's not that bad at all. I really don't think. I'm being honest. I'm not being a tough guy.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I mean, dude, I got my legs scoped. And I remember I went to Australia for Al. And ask any one of those guys, dude, I never be like, dude, I couldn't walk over there. I think that was worse. And that was a scope. I could not walk. I was like, dude, it's Ray. I was like, dude, I was a total cripple. And I know it was.
How long were you in pain for after a scope?
Oh, I don't know. But all I know is I couldn't move when I couldn't move in Australia. And that was less than 3 weeks after I got it, or 2 weeks, or whatever it was. There's something close, but I figured it was only a scope. I didn't think it was a big deal. But I did. That was everything before you actually get this. But, you know, like lately, like when I've been getting up, like out of bed and shit at night, which I do now because, you know, the pain meds hurt my stomach sometimes, you know, I guess the blood from going up to down is just, that's when it starts to flow back into my leg. You know, you see little stars for a second.
Sure.
You know, you're like, you motherfucker. You know, it's like, So, you know, my wife wakes up to a bald man growling in the middle. Honey, you okay? Yeah, I'm good, babe.
By the way, Matt, we have not talked since the fights.
Oh shit, Jimmy.
I would like to start
the arm lock you were talking about on the first fight in the prelims. That's what you're about to
talk about. No, but we can start there if you wish.
I believe the name is Yulia Stolyarenko.
Yes, over Jessica Rose Clark.
Yo. All I know is Yulia better not meet a guy named something Gulia, because then she'll be Yulia Gulia, and that's kind of funny. Come on. Did you ever see Wedding Singer? Probably not. Adam Sandler goes to the guy. The girl's name is Julia that he likes. It's Drew Barrymore. right? Let me hear it out. Hear it out. So he's dating. So she's married some yuppie guy. So he's having some talking. He's the wedding scene. He doesn't have a really good job, you know. And he's falling for her. She's falling for him. And he goes, "Oh, your last name's Guglia?" He goes, "Oh," he goes, "that's kind of funny. Her name's Julia. It should be Julia Guglia." So then a guy goes, "Well, why is that funny?" He's like, "I don't know." Anyway, aren't you glad I explained the joke to you? So Julia with that arm lock. I'll tell you, Jimmy, listen.
Were you happy when that happened?
Well, this is the thing. Yes. It was a neon belly arm lock where somebody puts a neon belly, you get a grip of the arm, and then you transfer over. She even pushed her leg between her legs. I used to do that too sometimes. And you put your shin on the opposite side, so you're facing the opposite way, and you take a far side arm lock. Okay? So I used it in one of my fights, actually. At the Copacabana in Manhattan, versus a jiu-jitsu guy. But it's so beautiful because, you know, it's a basic arm lock that, you know, these are things where guys would be like, all right, well, that's not something you're going to get the best of the world in a jiu-jitsu competition. But this is why, I'll tell you right now, I hardly even watch jiu-jitsu competitions. I like watching it used in combat because where you are going to be chill when there's no a threat of getting struck and you don't have to put your arms out for, it's hard to get the arms up. That become, it comes out, it has to come out or you're getting fucking drilled in the face. So things in a fight happen differently than they do in a regular straight up submission only match with no fear of getting struck. You know what I mean? So I like seeing jiu-jitsu used in combat. I even like the combat jiu-jitsu. I'm starting to like that. But I don't see like that guy, but I like keeping it real, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I like to be aware of managing your distance and whatnot. So my point is she got her down. It was a very basic arm lock, but damn, I bet your money this. Well, actually she's known for getting like four first round arm lock finishes. So it's not like it's not something she's done before, but I'll tell you, it's so beautiful. And, I'm sorry. Let me look at the card really quick. Her opponent,
Jessica Rose Clark.
Her opponent, Jessica Rose Clark. Jimmy, she was fighting great. Until she wasn't. No, yeah. Until she got that takedown with that arm lock. And damn, that thing was a thing of beauty. I showed it to my girls, and they all looked away after because they're like, oh, because the arm looked like it just went in half. It looked like out of a movie. It got totally dislocated right away. So I was like, ah! Oh, it's one of those. Like, ah! Right, but anyway, what a great fight! So let's talk more about the card, Jimmy. I just want to talk about
Duplessis over Tavares. What an incredible fight! That Brad Tavares Driscus Duplessis fight was the opening fight of the prelims. Fucking incredible!
Great. I don't want to say a test for Driscus, but it's Brad's always proven just to be a tough, tough guy. I mean,
yeah, he's a hard guy to put away too.
He's a well-rounded tough guy. Like, if they want to, I don't know. Like, he's dangerous for everybody. Like, he's one of those guys where I think he could fight up to an ability or even not down to ability. But like, he could shock you, is what I'm saying. You know, I think he went in there to win that fight, and I think he did well. I think it was a close. It was a good fight, but damn,
it was a great fight. It was a great fight. Yeah. The fact that neither one of those guys got put away was staggering. I mean, there's so many good fights. Jalen Turner over Riddell with that first round submission. Jalen Turner looked incredible. Of course, we talked about Jim Miller subbing Cowboy, and that was it for.
I want to talk about Cowboy for a second, only because I know he's got he's retiring. But before we do that, with that Jalen Turner, Riddell is not a guy that goes out easily. I mean, he just had that war with Rafael. Was that his last fight? Was that Rafael he fought last?
I'll tell you in a second. Hold on.
I believe it was. God, I got to stretch my leg. I'm sorry.
Let me see. Yes, I believe it was. Yeah, that was in.
And that was a good fight until he got caught in that third round.
And by the way, and he was upset. Riddell was mad that they stopped that, I think. But it was crazy to watch a guy so stunned and kind of out on his feet.
Yeah, they did the right thing. you know, some guys are almost tough for their, too tough for their own good.
Yeah. Yeah. And a second later, I guess you come back, but that was an incredible, incredibly placed, spinning kick.
But to take, so for Jalen Turner to come in there and take him out the way he yeah. did was very, very, very impressive. Poor Matt Frivola doesn't get any credit. He had a great fight with the fucking tarantula. That was a great fight. That was like a monster movie because the guy's so big and he was, and that was a great fight. Manny, I don't know.
That's his last loss, by the way, to Frivola.
Was it real?
That's Turner's last loss was to Matt Frivola. Yep.
I got to talk to Maddie and find out when he's fighting again. Matt Favola is fun as shit, man. He's always fucking fun. And he's such a great guy, sweetheart of a guy. I always like seeing him around the school. But anyway, Jalen Turner did fucking amazing. I mean, especially when you look at who he put away.
Yeah.
You know? And Riddell, he had the backing of all his guys being on the card with him.
Oh, yeah, with Volkanovski, of course, and Adesanya. Before we get to any of those, Alex Barreda, I mean... I wonder if that's going to be the next fight is going to be him against
how could it not be
Israel. That was such an impressive, devastating fight. And you saw his last fight went to decision against Bruno Silva. And
I was rewatching that. That guy was really trying to out grapple him. So that, I think that was a good telling fight on how well-rounded he is.
Yes,
that's
how
the biggest
good
question.
His defense, yes.
Yes, that's the biggest question. Is he just going to get taken down and smoked? No. Right. And he gets back up and he's equally as dangerous. So, you know, I'm really impressed with him. And I think that is the fight to make because the reason being Israel's just, you know, he ran through the whole division.
Ran through the division.
And it bothers me when people question, now they don't question Israel's like greatness, but like, but they do kind of say, well, yeah, but he lost to, you know, he had tough times where he lost to Blachowicz, Jan Blachowicz.
Yeah, but he was heavier and he just was,
I mean, who else is doing that though? It's like some of the greats never went up in weight at all to fight. Yeah. So you got to give the guy credit for trying to challenge himself with a fucking beast like that. And even to go through it unscathed.
And Blachowicz didn't even beat him up. He won the fight. He laid on him a lot, but he didn't kick the shit out of him. He was just a bigger dude.
They could still be fighting right now. My point is he didn't show he's the better martial artist. He beat him basically on takedowns.
And by the way, he also beat guys like Marvin Vettori and Brunson. Other guys who are extremely comfortable on the ground. So he's beaten other guys who are good grapplers. It's not like he's never fought a grappler, Hermanson.
Israel Adesanya is getting some hate because I think that was like a lot of bond burners that night. And dude, why? Like, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, well, to get hit, you have to hit somebody, you got to be willing to get hit. Not really. Not if you're Israel Adesanya. You can get hit. You can hit somebody and not get hit. I mean, or you could just like, so, I mean, he's so precise and he's kind of levels above that, you know, he's not playing with them, but he's strategically beating everybody. And then he's doing it without putting himself without leaving the cage with much skin. You know,
I said Hermanson, I meant Gastelum. I erroneously said Hermanson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, and I faulted Cannonier more in that fight, even though I thought Adesanya was at least staying active. Cannonier, it just seemed like he didn't know exactly what to do. He seemed like he was a little bit frozen and was setting up too much and didn't seem to realize he was down three or four rounds.
I mean, Israel's a hard puzzle to figure out, but that's what's so intriguing about the Alex Pereira fight because Alex is not only is he listen, it's not like he beat him in outside of the UFC and kickboxing, and then he came in here and he lost and he won and he had beaten everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many fights do you have? Two or three? Two? Is this the second fight?
This was his third fight.
All right.
In the UFC.
And he's beaten everybody.
Oh, yeah. He's 3-0.
So it's like, obviously. So my point is, hey, I think the guy's proven. And not only that, Sean Strickland, say what you want about it. First of all, funny as fuck at the press conference. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
He can be disrespectful, but he's willing to fight. So it's fucking funny. But, dude, that guy said the best. He, you know, he lost that fight, but he got on his Instagram or on the social media. I saw the clip of him being like, look, I never claimed to be the best fighter, man. I don't regret shit. You know, I went in there and, you know, he risks it. And then, you know, he bested a lot of good guys. Oh, we have Rafael Fadiz.
He did, yeah. I thought that he probably standing right in front of him. And he even admitted I stood in front of one of the best kickboxers. He felt like he was doing really well and he was going to have an easy fight. And he just, you know, he got caught.
We have so much more to talk about with the card. I know we're all over the place.
That's right.
And when we get back, I want to talk about my love for Volkanovski, because people are killing me lately. Because you know why? On the, I don't know if you've seen it, on the countdown special, they show me go to Dana. They go, Matt Serra, UFC Hall of Famer. And I go after the second fight of Max Holloway and Volkanovski. Yeah. They have me saying to Dana, and I'm not doing this for the camera. I didn't even know they were filming us.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I go, I feel bad for Max. I give him every round but one and this and that. So yeah. So people are tagging me and shit. Take a look.
You were right. Max won the second fight. Max won the second fight.
I thought he won it, but I love Volkanovski. I think the guys, I love that fight. I can't wait to talk about his fight. So
yes.
Let's talk to Rafael.
Yes.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, what's up, brother? How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you.
I like your style, dude. Yeah, because I got little beads on my head. You got like a nice, like almost like a, it's like a hippie vibe, but you're such a dangerous man.
No, it's this one. It's Arabic.
I like that. Now, very comfortable, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, like, balls is like so easy for everything.
yes, everything is just hang.
How good does it feel to finally be getting ready to have this fight? There's been some delays. You must be happy that it's finally happening.
Yeah, of course, I'm really happy. Like, I don't know, I can't explain it because it's dream fight for me. Fighting Manny Wen, just 2.5 years in the UFC. 3 years in UFC, like, and I fight in main event with guy like Rafa, former champion, all this stuff. Yeah, of course, I'm really happy, and I make good camp.
You had a visa issue. It seemed like it was very slow for everybody. Is that what it was? It was just clogged up in the pipes and very slow the last time when you had your visa issue.
Yeah, about visa, I have always problem. I have like Kyrgyzstan passport and I want to come to America, and many people from Kyrgyzstan come to America and stay there like illegal. You know, that's why I have a problem. That's why I have a problem for me.
But don't they see you're a fighter and that you go back and that you come and you fight and go back? You think that they would see that? I'm sure that's very frustrating.
I don't understand also, because like I'm always come to immigration. When I give my passport, he said, "Oh, you're famous. Oh, you're a UFC fighter. Oh, nice. Okay, go talk with officer." And I stay in airport, like in immigration, 2 hours. He give me like 100 questions. Why I coming? I can't use the guns. What guns I can use? Like all these shit questions. Always.
Did they ever refuse you entry at the airport, or once you get to that point, you're always okay?
Always, like they ask me like 100 question, and after I going.
Okay. Well, I'm happy that this fight is very happening. We were just talking about your amazing finish of Brad Riddell. That kick in the third round was beautiful. That was an incredible fight.
Yeah, that happens sometime.
You sparred with him a lot, right? So it's a little awkward for you because you guys sparred a lot. I didn't want to bring that up. That's painful. This little shit, Jimmy. Why are you bringing it up? Rafael doesn't want to talk. That's his friend.
It was a win, though. He had a great win. Of course he wants to talk about it. He was a great fight. Heavy body kicks. He fought beautifully.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we have enough friends in this business. But anyway, now you're fighting RDA, a former champion. A lot of people are feeling that they're watching the way you fight. You're dipping back. You're hard to kick. You're all over the. He's going to try to use his Brazilian jiu-jitsu to smother you and neutralize your striking. You have great takedown defense. How much do you spend a lot of time on your back, or is it mostly just not getting to the floor with the wrestling?
No, I'm ready for everything. I'm training every day, not only striking, you know. And my plan is like make a sweat and like a fish, and just if he try to take me down, and if he take me down and try to control, like I'm a fish, like I stand up like a fish, you know.
I got you. Hard to hold. Yeah. Oh, slippery. Hard to hold.
Slippery, yeah.
And you think that maybe one or two more fights, and if they go your way, you can get a shot at the belt after that?
Yeah, I think this fight give me like, this is big step for this belt. This is a big step. After this win, this is a big step. But hey. I'm sure like people who like top five, top four, he don't want to fight with me for sure, because these guys won't fight with each other or with Conor McGregor.
Everybody wants that Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants that. everybody wants that check. I mean, I don't blame people. But you and his Gaethje, I think, would be really nice. That I think that would be the fight that everybody would want to see. And I think he would take that fight. Justin Gaethje seems like he'll fight anybody.
I think too. I won. I'm more than happy for this fight after Eddie. But we'll see.
Now, hey, Rafael, what do you like to do when you have a day off? You don't want to train today. I'm having a day off. I'm gonna go to the movies. I'm gonna do miniature golf. Jimmy, I think, is looking at the pickleball. What do you like to do when you have a day off?
So if I have train week, like I never have day off. Like, but if I like a weekend, I like to stay with the family always. Like, we're going to beach. We're going to some active weekend, you know, we're walking a lot, we're going some new places. Like, for me, it's like, first of all, what I do, I try to find some good place for eat.
Yes. Oh, I love.
Yeah. And I go like, it's like some, what I like.
Is this your first, main event?
Yeah.
And your first five round fight?
Yeah.
What is the difference in preparation? And also, does being in the main event, all the additional press you're doing, does that change your routine leading up to the fight?
Oh, it's a big difference. Now I understand what is it like, camp for three rounds and camp for five rounds is a big difference. Before, I don't know that. But now, like, it's more harder, yeah. It's more hard work, more extra work. That's different. Just more hard.
What's your guilty pleasure with the food? Do you like the food, like the pizza, the pasta, or do you like the dessert, the chocolate cake? The tiramisu, like Khabib likes. What do you like? What's worse? What do you like?
I can't say I like something this or this. No, I like everything because when I start to eat, I eat like 30,000 calories at one time. This is for easy because I eat like pasta. I can eat pasta, and after I can eat pizza.
Yes,
pizza. But pizza, I take a pizza. Like example, Buffalo, a big pizza with four cheese. I take one kebab, one big meat, and I put inside and I make a roll and I eat this all. And after I can eat pasta, and after I can eat two cheesecake, like different cheesecake, make it together. And like, you know,
Jimmy, I relate.
After I drink Coca-Cola.
Jimmy, forget the Gracie diet. Forget about all these, the Atkins, the keto. Look, you ever seen him fight? It works for him.
It works for him, but you have to. So does that motivate you? Like when you're like, I'm going to train and win, and then I'm just going to go and eat what I want. How long do you give yourself to just eat whatever you want? A week, 2 weeks?
Oh, that's close how I can. I like, if I have fight like 2 months, okay, I start to diet. But before this, like I eat, I never think about diet or like stay in shape. No, I like my fat. It's okay.
What's the hardest thing for you not to eat? Like, what's the hardest food to avoid?
Oh, This is bread.
bread.
All this stuff with bread.
I'm with you, buddy. A lot of fighters are like this. Because when we're fighting, when we're training for a fight, 2 months more, your diet has to be like this, right? Raphael has to be. So, hey, when it's time after a fight, woo, the food tastes extra good, Jimmy.
Yeah,
sometimes
sometimes
your belly's small. So you try to eat and you're like, oh, but then your belly gets big and it goes.
Yeah. After a fight, I get like a dog, bro. I eat like a dog.
Like Patty the Batty does the same thing. A lot of fighters.
Well, Raphael, you're one of the most exciting guys in the division. And I hope that you have a great fight on Saturday against Dos Anjos. And I think everybody would love to see you and Justin or whoever else you fight next, but got to get through Raphael Dos Anjos first. So good luck on Saturday. And we're looking forward to seeing this fight. You've looked really, really great since you entered the UFC.
Thank you so much.
I love what I hear about guys who just love to eat too. I love that because for me, it's so hard. It's nice to see disciplined fighters have the same problems I do, except you guys can make yourselves work out and I can't.
I think he got really into it. He went, and how about this? Now, shame on Ray Longo because he makes me, and he brings us up to people and he thinks it's weird. And my guys, they don't think, they follow suit. I'm pretty sure I seen Raging Al do this after, and I, you know, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he did. I take my, the bread when we go out to eat, right? And I did this in the past, and I do this usually at Italian places. And I get the, I open it up, I cut it open, especially when it's warm, and I kind of take out the doughy part, and then I get the mozzarella sticks, right? And I get the mozzarella sticks, and I put them in there, and I make a little mozzarella stick. Like sandwich.
Sounds so delicious.
Longo thinks I'm crying. The guy's making sandwiches in a table with the mozzarella. I go, dude, what are you? What's the matter with you? What are you, the fun police? Huh? With my belly? All right, let's get back to some fights.
yes, Volkanovski's devastating 50-45 win over Max. I mean, that just seals it. I mean,
he's looking incredible. Phenomenal. Like a little, I don't even want to say like a Mike Tyson because he's got his own style, but a stocky, little hard. I like when he was in there. And listen, I'm not a big fan of guys talking if it's not from the heart.
Right.
But when he was in there talking to him, I forgot what he was saying, so I don't want to misquote him. Like almost like, come get it. Like, let's get at it. He was so confident. He knew he was going to win. Dude, Max Holloway was the guy claiming, like saying, and then listen, I love Max Holloway.
Yes.
And he was the one saying, I'm the best boxer, looking away, hitting Calvin Kattar, who everybody holds in high regard.
Yeah.
Such a high regard. So it shows you that Volkanovski, who definitely doesn't have the reach on him, is just like, come on. Like, come on. Not like that.
Yeah.
That's me being pent up at my house for over a week. Arr! You know?
Yeah.
Jimmy, do I look like a cockle? All right. Listen, anyway.
How Jimmy. About a round of applause for fucking Brian Barberena over Lawler. Again, that was Lawler is just never in a boring fight. Like, I don't care what round it ends in, how it ends. Everything he does is fucking fun to watch. And Barberena is just an animal. So that was a great fight. The whole night was really good, except for the Sean O'Malley, Pedro Munoz eye poke thing, but it was legit. Pedro was not looking for a way out of there. They had to give him certain eye drops so his eye could even open, and he had a scratch on his cornea. So I'm glad it wasn't more serious.
Well, I definitely want to. Who'd you say right before Pedro? Who were you just saying about?
Sean O'Malley.
Yes, no, but Sean O'Malley and Pedro. I want to talk about that.
Brian Barberena and Ronnie Lawler.
I want to get a word in with that.
Okay,
we had him on the show. And that guy looks like a barbarian, fights like a fucking barbarian. But what a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart of a guy. So, and so is Robbie. You know, so they're nice guys. They're both of them, you'd be surprised, are very, very nice guys. And Robbie's gotten so technical and how he stays in the pocket. He was throwing I think he had the heavier hands in a sense where he was landing bigger shots. And then came the Barberena elbows. The elbows were making the fucking difference, Jimmy. They made the difference in the exchanges. And that's something to be said, because he wasn't just being a barbarian. He was timing those elbows in close, and ultimately that made the big difference in the fight. And that's a fight that when you put it on paper, it you think of, you're not surprised it went the way it went. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's like, yo, somebody would say there's no way that could be a stinker. There's no way. They fight 10 times, you're getting similar shit. So congrats to both guys, but congrats to Barbarina, because Robbie's stock does not go down. No. Robbie's a legend. It's not like, oh boy, did you see his last performance? No, he could have won that fight. Sure. He was in that fight. And Barbarina just was so, a dog. And it might have came down to not who wanted it more, but in a sense, you know, he's fighting Barbarina and he's the legend kind of, and Barbarina knows what he's going. You know what I mean? That might have been the extra oomph to add those elbows in. I don't know. That he's, you know, he's fighting a guy that probably came up fighting. Robbie's an older guy now. You know what I mean? How old is he now, Robbie? But, well, I mean,
I want to say he's 38. Am I crazy?
Yeah, probably. He's been around. He's been around as,
let me see, how
as
old
long
is
as me.
Lola?
And he was
let
a
me
kid.
Guess.
Dude, 40. He's 40 years old.
Is he 40? Wow. I just talked to him with Phoenix. He was 40 fucking years old.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks good, Jimmy.
Yeah, he does. Looks great.
But and then you went into the, first of all, Pedro Munhoz, I feel bad for him, because even the announcers, and no discredit to Joe and those guys, because, you know, they might have been like, oh, it looks like it was kind of just hardly hit him. Dude, you see him that night, dude, his eye's still shut. That thing, you don't know when something goes in the eye. You really don't know. Pedro Munhoz is never a guy to, he's never a guy to look for a way out. He's never been a guy. He's always, his toughness is one of his attributes, you know? So I 100% don't believe he was looking for a way out. You know what I mean? It's easy to say fight with one eye.
Right.
Unless you're Michael Bisping, you have no right to say that. And that's it. And it's weird. Oh, by the way, let's address a drunken Henry Cejudo backstage challenging Sean O'Malley and talking to Volkanovski. I don't know what he said to Volkanovski, but dude, it's a bad look. This is the thing. I don't mind him being the king of cringe and doing his thing. Do your thing, dude. Get a fight. You're a great fighter. And he's a great teacher. I like watching some of his Instagram stuff where he's teaching an inside trip. I like the inside trip. I like the way he teaches. But now listen, Sean O'Malley, very confident. The fight went weird. It's not really his fault. I mean, shit happens. I mean, it happens, you know? But, you know, he's backstage getting interviewed. You really want him, you want to shit on the guy's parade no matter what he's dealing with. You want to jump in and, hey, you know, I think you absolutely suck. I'll fight. Hey, dude, really, dude? Because obviously you had a couple. I'm not saying you're drunk, but you obviously have a couple in you. So you're probably feeling good. You probably signed some autographs tonight. People are probably coming up to you. I understand. I get it. You're used to the limelight. You're the fucking, you're a champion how many times over? You're an Olympic champion.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey. Fuck off when it's not your night. Have the kid. Let the kid have his night. You might want to, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you're going to do it a little classy. You don't be on the side. I heard they had to remove him from backstage. I mean, what the fuck? I don't know. Maybe I'm off. But I like Henry. Henry's a nice guy. Henry.
Henry chose to retire in the cage. He chose to step down. It's his choice. I wish he didn't, because I enjoy watching him.
Yeah, but then.
But then just to kind of go out and be this guy all the time. It's like,
well, but dude, you're heckling the guy backstage.
Who was he heckling?
He was, dude, Sean O'Malley's doing an interview.
Yeah.
And he interviewed him and he goes, no, go ahead. You know, he's like, you'll bend the knee and I think you'd absolutely suck. And then the guy, Sean's like, are you serious? Because he's like, one, you know, you're drunk. And two, you're like, you know, you look fat. Sean's like, are you serious? You look like you're training. You know, O'Malley's not going to take a payday with a fight neck guy? Of course he would. But like, I don't know, dude. I mean, come on, man. Sure, I mean, Henry, we all like to have a good time. But let these kids have their moments. What the fuck are you doing? Fuck off with that.
Yeah.
And I like Henry, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just dude, stop. And, I mean, look, obviously it wasn't a night that O'Malley wanted either. You know.
But anyway, it's just a thought. And I like him, and I like Eric, the coach. Coach Eric with the glasses. You know, I usually stick up for the short people. And I get a text. Oh. Did a message from somebody. Oh, did Volkanovski win one of those rounds? Yeah, asshole. He did fucking phenomenal. What do you think? I hate the guy. I like the guy.
50-45. Yeah, but he lost the second fight.
The guy.
He lost it.
So, dude, they had me on that countdown special saying it the day, you know? So it's like, I'm sure Does it mean I hate the guy? No, I fucking like the guy. I like Max also. I call it how I see it. I don't give a fuck. You know, I have no horse in the fucking race.
Yeah, but even Dana said at the end, does anybody actually think that Alex won that fight? Everyone thought that he lost it. So people who say that you're being anti him, he was amazing against Max in his third fight. The most impressive he's looked, of course.
Dude, no, it bothers me actually because I really like Volk. Volk's a nice guy, Volkanovski. He comes on the show. He's very polite. He handles himself like a man. Like, you know what I mean? Like the way a fighter should handle himself. Like he just a champion. He's confident. Dude, I love it. Dude, that guy walked in that cage knowing he's winning. And that's coming off a fight where we all thought he lost. You know what I mean? But that's not, I mean, actually, no, it's not. It's coming off a fight with Max where we thought he lost, but he's won. He's you've seen growth since then. If you look at his other fights, especially when he did the poor zombie, he made him more of a zombie.
He did, yeah. And against surviving that third round against Ortega, that choke, I mean, that's one of the most impressive things I've seen anybody do in the cage.
Yeah. I think he remembered that he doesn't have a neck and he got out of there. No, I'm only kidding. Listen, but he's fucking the kid all dead.
I'm glad your knee is feeling
better. Jimmy, is it the blame the pain? You can't all be out of the podcast. You are a stinker. You always point out when I have a bad joke. Listen to me, Jimmy. I miss you.
I miss you too.
We talked about Israel. We talked about pretty much everybody.
Yeah, we covered
the. We went in a crazy order. I think we.
Yeah, that's fine. I prefer that anyway. I don't need someone to go down. I don't need two guys.
By the way,
they were suggesting things for us to possibly do on certain days of the week. And one of the suggestions that we got, it said tail of the tape. I told them I am not saying tail of the tape. Everyone says that.
Well, let's go over the tail of the tape.
We're not saying the fucking tail of the tape ever. If that was someone's name, I wouldn't say it. If this guy came on, his name was Michael Tail of the Tape, I would just call him Michael. I'm not saying tail of the tape. They have to say that when the fight's happening. That's an announcer thing to do.
I like to have a good time. Jimmy,
me too.
I'm back. I took one day off from the show.
That's it.
And I'm fucking back. And it's good because I'm not going to lie. I'm getting a little stir crazy, Jimmy.
No, I understand.
Much VR you could play. But I'll tell you, I am playing it. And that's when I ice my leg because it's the best time to ice your leg. Because you're not thinking about the fucking cold ass fucking thing. And like you're thinking about murking fools, which I think about.
Well, when is your next one, Matt? When are you doing your next one? November?
I'm going to do that probably in October.
Okay. So you'd be healed up probably by Thanksgiving or close to it.
My wife's probably going to get another kickboxing match in September. Yeah. And then around close. So, yeah, listen, man. We like to live our lives here, the Sarahs. And I'm getting two new knees, man.
Good.
Two new knees. I plan on doing a video when I turn 50. And just being like, yo, look at me training. I want a video of me just strangling and camorring motherfuckers. Yes. Sorry. Just to be like, look, I'm still 50 yet dangerous. Yeah. That will be my hashtag. But I'm not there yet, Jimmy. I'm 48. Don't round it up.
50 and dangerous.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy.
Yes.
Oh, let me introduce you to my friend Sunlight. Are you gonna give me? Are you gonna get some? Like, get some sun, Jimmy.
I'm in a room that's surrounded by light. I think that's why I look so pale.
I'm extra tan though, because I've been doing is laying out.
No, but I look white as in like unhealthy white. Like I look like a fluorescent bulb. I understand that.
Just right next to each other. Like we were right next to each other. I go, Jimmy, put your arm up, and when you put your arm right next to mine.
Oh, that's the light.
Hold on. Let me get some sunglasses. Jimmy, I'll fuck it around. Let's plug something. I miss you, my buddy.
I miss you. Tonight, I am in New York at the Fat Black Pussycat, December 22nd, 23rd. Maybe I'll see Sanhagen when I'm up in Denver. Maybe he'll come to the show. I also have Rochester coming up. I have Rhode Island coming up. And I have Minneapolis coming up.
Jimmy.
Yes, buddy.
You can find me basically at my house. I ain't doing shit. But listen, I know what I might do now since I ain't doing shit. I might follow up on that whole voice acting venture I was trying to get into. And then I made one call. And then I might have to send something back. I ain't lying to you. Oh. Jimmy, I'm too lax with my life.
Yeah, Matt.
But isn't
get on Twitch.
Like, but isn't this kind of like retirement for me, Jimmy?
Get on Twitch.
I got my Sarah BJJ in Huntington if you want to learn jiu-jitsu and hang out with me. Yeah. People show up there. This other guy showed up the other day. His name is Luke. I remember that because I like Star Wars. And he had one eyebrow that was a different color. And he had a shirt that was Star Wars or something. And so I started talking some geek shit about him. And he's like, man, I just can't believe you're here. And I go, man, dude, my name's on the fucking wall, dude. I didn't do that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, dude, I said my name's on the wall. I said it happened, you know? And he's like, yeah. So now the guy can hang out with me and we could talk movies and I could teach him all marks. Jimmy, you got to keep life simple. More, Jimmy, is not better.
No, nope, not necessarily.
Having said that, I just ordered cornhole for my backyard. Do you like cornhole?
Cornhole?
You know what that is?
Is that that thing where you throw sandbags?
Yeah, it's like sandbags. It's a horrible name.
It's an awful name. And I would only like it if people played it with grenades.
Jimmy,
I don't like it.
I get so shocked at the negativity that it makes me, it shocks me.
I just don't like
to
that the game.
Point where it's such a fun game. Why are you hating that game?
I just don't like it.
Hating the name. The name is, it almost sounds dirty.
Yeah.
Cornhole.
Yeah.
But it's a fun game, Jimmy.
I just don't enjoy it.
Well, anyway, listen, we're not going to, you're not going to get them in. And then you can sometimes knock theirs off the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What? I'm sorry, Mister. Oh, I like to stick to shoehorns.
Hey, play with chess.
Horseshoes.
Or shoehorns.
Shoehorns is a horrible game.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a fun game at all. But horseshoes can't be fun.
No.
Jimmy, again, we could have ended a couple of minutes ago and it wouldn't have changed the show. But I do miss you. Can I listen to me?
Yes.
Don't, if it goes to voice, between now and the weekend, you might get a call.
I'll answer it.
You might get a FaceTime.
Yep.
Just do the right thing.
All right,
buddy. That's all I'm saying. I'll talk to you soon, Jimmy, and I miss you and love you.
I miss you too, but I love Matt Serra. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Goodbye, buddy.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.